So, good evening to you all, and nice to see all your faces again. And many of you have seen recently on the quad check-in, and some of you I haven't seen for a long time. So, for those of you I know who I haven't seen for a long time, nice to see you again. And all in all, yeah, a pleasure to be here and for this particular topic this evening. And I'm imagining that, well, certainly having heard a few words from you, Faye, and recognition of, yeah, maybe this would be a good idea to explore vindictiveness. And I'm imagining, and I'll take it for granted, that you signed up for this particular webinar because vindictiveness somehow rings a bell for you in one way or another. Maybe you recognize the vindictiveness that you carry around with you. And while Faye, to mention you again, your share, thank you about putting a focus particularly on vindictiveness for yourself is what I under certainly what you spoke about and your experience on the process with Donna. And so for some of you that might, like Faye, there might be a particular focus on self-vindictiveness, but for others of you, there may well be more of a focus on being vindictive towards others, or maybe even one person in particular. And certainly we'll be moving in the direction of maybe identifying, or certainly not even maybe, but certainly identifying one person in particular. And it could be yourself, or it could well be, and a possibility of it being somebody else in your life. And I know that we gave the title of a kind of the catchy title for the evening was kind of like vindictive, me, vindictive, because sometimes there can be that tendency to deny that we're really vindictive and find some other way to describe the feeling that we have and finding some way to justify or rationalize why whoever we are feeling vindictive towards deserves it in some way. And therefore, there's some kind of self-righteousness in it. But I guess, you know, really to come back to the fundamentals of vindictiveness, it's resentment, it's grudge carrying, and it's wanting to get back at whoever we feel vindictive towards. And when I started researching, I guess research is probably a kind of a grandiose word, but certainly preparing for this, I was doing some reading around it and reminding myself of some of the aspects of it. And I came across, I love that, I've always been a bit of a fan of German compound nouns, even though I can't speak German, but Schadenfreude is such an, it has such a ring about it. And you know, that expression and what it means, which is taking pleasure in other people's discomfort. And maybe again, that gives us some indication of, you know, the universe or some other agency getting back at that person on our behalf, you know, that they're getting what they deserve. And there's a, you know, I guess what I really have come to realize in thinking more about it today, is that for many of us, there's a kind of a bit of a sense of power, a bit of an enjoyment of having vindictiveness, because it gives us a bit of a kind of a sharp energy, an edge, something like that. And I'm wondering how many of you feel that way, that there's some enjoyment in vindictiveness. You'd be willing to raise your hand if you recognize what I'm talking about. Because, yeah, there is something attractive about that energy of feeling better than other people, feeling more important than somebody else, of being right and they're wrong. And just occurs to me that if you wanted to make any notes, hopefully you have that workbook printed off. And I think it's about page four, there's a place you can make some notes on vindictiveness, notes on what I'm talking about. And so what I wanted to ask, and maybe I could hear from one or two of you who particularly related to what I said just now, maybe put your hand up around the sense of power that you get from feeling vindictive, of a kind of an enjoyment of that vindictive energy. What do you get from it? Is anybody who'd be willing to share what it is you get from holding on to that feeling of vindictiveness? Alison, did you have your hand up?
Yes, to me it's not power. I think it's sort of getting a bit of evenness back, a bit of not getting power over somebody, but getting some power back to get on the level rather than power over somebody.
Okay, so it gives you a sense of power, but it's more focused on you having the power rather than anybody else being the power being directed at them or over them.
Yeah, it feels a bit of like justice, getting some justice for ill treatment that couldn't be addressed with the person. So,
okay, so it gives you a sense of power and a sense of evening things up. Would that be it, or getting some justice?
Yeah.
And that's based on the fact that they did me some wrong, and therefore this is my way of getting back at them.
Yeah.
Thank you. So others of you relate to that, that it feels like it somehow it balances the books? Yeah. Okay, great. What would be the downside of that? I mean, the fact is that here you are feeling this sense of power over somebody else, and in some way you're justifying it by feeling like it evens up what they did to you, and therefore, you know, giving yourself a sense of power. But how does it affect your relationship with that person if you're holding on to this energy? How do you feel towards them? And if you should see them, how would you behave towards them? Anybody who can have a sense of... David, you got your hand up?
Aggressively, angrily is how I feel when dealing with discussing.
Okay, and so that anger and that aggressiveness, does it gives you a sense of power, gives you a sense of strength? Question?
I strongly identified with the bit you said before about giving me power, but it's kind of, I only have that power when I have the emotions inside me. When I express them, I feel rather foolish and stupid.
So when you express it, when you express those feelings towards the person, or when you express them, period?
Towards the person.
Right. So what's the outcome? You feel a bit foolish, and what does it do to the relationship between the two of you about how you feel towards them primarily, and how you get the sense that person is feeling towards you?
It sours the relationship. You can't, people don't like being around angry people.
Yeah, right. And so is that something which you have some control over when you recognize that there is the anger and the aggressiveness is there, and you recognize the downside when you actually express it? Where does that then leave you, or what choices do you make about what you're going to do next?
Post-process, I'm a bit more smarter about that, in that I can express it using the tools that we learned on the process. But the feelings are still there.
Okay.
So I tend not to express them.
Okay. So if I can just check what I just heard you say, is that even if you use the tools of the process and express how you're feeling towards them, or using the tool of expressing it on your own, that it doesn't necessarily shift the way you feel towards them, that there's some deeper rooted reaction going on?
Yes, it neutralizes it for a while, but then it goes away, but then the feelings come back.
Okay, so maybe there's something that needs to be continued, because I guess that, you know, to move on from here, and certainly to say that I've had experience myself in the past of needing to express vindictiveness using the process experience more than once, because it's something very deep rooted. Sometimes it can be cleared in one experience, but sometimes it needs more. And so, yeah, maybe there's an indication there about, you know, more that needs to be done. But, you know, one of the ways that, I mean, one of the things that can very much contribute, or many, I'm saying a few things here that can contribute to us remaining in a state of feeling resentful towards other people, and really going back to the bottom line of where it all begins, is feeling resentment towards other people. And, you know, a recognition that it comes out of many different patterns, you know, that it may come out of a sense of having always to be right, maybe of comparing ourselves to other people, of blaming other people for what happens to us. And there's a, you know, a bottom line, or kind of like a common theme that runs through, is of being a victim, because as a victim, then we're always blaming other people for the way that we feel, and not taking responsibility for what it is that we are feeling. And therefore, you know, really to kind of look back in to recognize that any time that we feel resentment towards other people, that we are allowing them to make us feel some way in particular. And then there's another element of it also, is anger is, I'm sorry, I'll turn that around. Vindictiveness also comes from the resentment stays, and we don't express how we're feeling towards the other person, and we don't speak up for ourselves. And so there may well be a pattern also of not being able to speak up for ourselves, and to say to somebody that what they did crossed the boundary, or even being able to say, tell them how you feel about a situation, because you have a pattern of not being able to speak up for yourself. And therefore there's another point at which vindictive resentment leading to grudge carrying and vindictiveness can develop. Because to go back to that expression, which I'm the quote, which I may slightly misquote, which we always talk about on the process, about William Blake, I was angry with my friend, I told my friend, my wrath did end. I was angry with my foe, I spoke it not, my wrath did grow. And so that is, you know, to kind of bring the wrath down to speaking up for ourselves, that if we tell people how we're feeling and express that we felt hurt, or we felt misheard, or we felt misunderstood, being able to speak that out, then that means that the potential for resentment drifts away, whereas it's the unspoken stuff that causes us to be resentful and to hold on. And so there's a part here, I mean, really to recognize, and I suppose part of the, you know, really to get the importance of doing something about vindictiveness, because of looking at the fact of where vindictiveness, collectively, where vindictiveness can go, that, you know, if we take it from the personal level of knowing that this, the potential that the anger is kind of gnawing away inside of us, and then maybe kind of bursts out, that on a national level, that the kind of the resentments, the grudge carrying, and the vindictiveness that societies can feel and nations can feel towards other nations results in wars. And so, you know, really to bring it back to the micro level, if you like, of a recognition that, you know, whatever energy of vindictiveness that we're carrying, that we are contributing to the general level of vindictiveness in society. And so, you know, really just to, in a moment, I'm just going to start exploring the ways that we're vindictive. And but one other aspect that I wanted to include in this is the kind of the little moments where we may kind of spark off at somebody. And I was just thinking about it today of being in a shop and queuing up on these sort of 2 meters apart on those little things on the floor. And at one point, somebody just kind of walked into the queue in front of me and kind of just took ahead. They kind of basically queue jumping. And how recognize that even in those moments, we can just have those little kind of sparks of, I mean, I acknowledged it in myself. It was just that moment of, how dare you move, take my place in the queue. And how often that can happen. If somebody overtakes us when we're driving, for example, is a possibility of doing that. And maybe, you know, we're in a social situation and we're talking to somebody and a third person comes along and instantly the person that we're talking to turns their attention to the other person and engages with them. And maybe for me, the person who's been suddenly ignored is the feeling of kind of like, oh, are they better looking? Are they funnier? Are they more interesting to talk to? And again, there can be that like kind of like little of resentment, vindictiveness, and really to get that. And I'm wondering, you know, as you hear that, whether you get a sense of that, that you know, that we can. It's a kind of like a feeling inside, and all of those moments can really add up. And therefore, I guess that the part of that is to recognize, again, to have an awareness about that of, you know, what's happening in that situation. You know, what are the patterns that I'm going into? And so that's a key part of being able to deal with those moment-to-moment situations. And one other thing to say about that is also to recognize how often we take things personally and something, a slight, what we take as being a slight may simply be somebody else doing what they're doing. And therefore just to see how often we take things personally, and that can then lead on to feeling resentful and vindictive towards other people. But if I can just bring the focus back at the moment to the ways in which you're vindictive. And on the next page in the workbook there are the sections which you may well be familiar with or remember from your process. And just to ask you to look at that for a moment, and particularly the section about the ways in which we're vindictive to others. And I'm wondering if any of you would be willing to share some of the examples of how you are vindictive to others. What kind of things that you do to be vindictive to others? And do remember, this is all confidential and no one's going to be remembering or talking about whatever it is you say. So if you'd be willing to share and to be open, and it'd be helpful to others. Yeah. Ashley, you've got your hand up. If you can unmute yourself, Ashley. I think you're still muted. You're muted, Ashley. You're muted. You unmuted for a moment and then it went back on again.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Perfect. I take everything personally, especially directed towards my other half. And even the slightest comment, I'll hold on to that grudge for days and right. Cause a lot of problems and ultimately just make myself miserable. I find it hard to let things go, so I withdraw and hold grudges, and I really hold on to it, and it just ruins my relationship.
Do you have control over that grudge carrying? Do you do it because you know, what do you get from holding on to it, or do you wish you could do something different?
I wish I could do something different. I want to learn to let things go a lot sooner than what I do, because ultimately it just affects me. My partner moves on literally moments later, whereas I'm still holding on to it. and ultimately making myself miserable and making him miserable, because I won't talk to him. I'll ignore him. I won't be affectionate. I'll sit in another room. I'll be mean. And I've noticed I've started to say quite spiteful things towards him, and it's just not nice.
And so what would be the cause of the resentment or the grudge? Can you give one example of what happens that you become resentful about?
An example. God, there's been so many during lockdown. I don't know. My partner, he's very busy with work, extremely busy, and I find that I don't really get much of his time, and I hold that against him.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. So what I'd like to pursue with that is, are you able to tell him how you feel? And particularly from the point of view, and this is something that we would have spoken about on the process, usually after transference, which is about how to communicate differently, which is to begin with how I feel. I feel ignored. I mean, potentially you might say in this situation, you know, I feel ignored or unimportant when I experience you as spending all your time working and not having any time to spend together.
Mm.
So as a main means of communication, are you able to use that, or do you not speak up?
In all honesty, I did used to use that, and that worked beautifully. And I think I've kind of stopped a lot of my work on myself. So I kind of just go straight into holding a grudge, going silent, or saying not particularly nice things, or being moody and, you know, and just unapproachable and just not very nice to be around. Okay. So okay. I never really move on from the issue, and it never really gets any better. It just grows and gets bigger and uglier. So I'm well aware. That's why I'm on the course this evening.
Okay. But just if I can ask one more question about what mm-hmm. might be behind that. Did you have a pattern of not being able to speak up for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. When I was younger, I was never heard.
Okay. And so, you know, just to reckon, you know, in terms of what you suggest that you do is, on the one hand, to deal with the vindictiveness, but, or, you know, to express that, but also to be aware of that pattern that seems to be coming back still, and therefore to put some attention on that as a way of avoiding the build-up once again of all the resentment, so that you're able to go back to what you started doing after the process.
Yeah, I recognize it, and right. Yeah, so that's why I'm here this evening, because I recognize it and I want to put a stop to it. So I just need to refresh myself.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
No problem.
Anybody else like to share any examples of their vindictiveness towards other people? Any hands going up? Okay. And, there we go. Somebody put your hand up over there. Is that you, Robert?
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Typical, I think it comes from my pattern of rejection. But I also, what's often the case is people that I kind of feel sorry for the people that get really close to me. It embarrasses me to say, because it's like they kind of enter this unwritten, unspoken contract that they don't know of. But when people get close to me, they have to, in my mind, they have to be there for me. And for example, I was in lockdown in my house living with a very good friend. And then a couple of weeks ago, this friend went back to work. And obviously, you know, everybody has to go back to work. And I stayed at home, and I became really angry that I felt left. I felt abandoned. I felt like the person was leaving me, a bit like when people close to me don't reply to my messages. And I automatically go into punishing mode by withdrawing, not replying, and the other person tends to be confused and just have no idea why I'm doing it. And then if that person's particularly worried, or because I'm drawn to quite needy people as well, then that person goes into overcompensating mode and starts to do things to get my attention back. And then I kind of just enter in this vicious circle of that.
So thank you for sharing that. And I guess, I mean, the next question would be, it sounds like you have a lot of awareness of the patterns that are involved in that. And again, to ask whether, you know, what you do with those, whether there's some pleasure even of continuing to stay in the resentment and the grudge carrying, so that you don't actually do anything about the patterns that you're aware of. Or is there another dynamic involved in there?
No, I think there is some kind of pleasure staying in that
right
pattern. I mean, I'm, like you said, I'm completely aware of it. I completely, yeah. But then there's that, the awareness isn't the problem. It's the kind of wanting, when I feel left and abandoned, it's how to fix that. It's my codependency. It's how to fill that void inside myself. And the only way I can, the easy way to do it is by withdrawing and making that person come running to me, yeah, to make me feel loved again. And I think, oh, I kicked myself. I mean, why did I do it? You know, I should have been there for myself, or run myself a bubble bath, or done something nice for myself rather than make the person pander to my needs.
So great. I mean, there's lots of awareness in there, and recognizing, as you say, perhaps of, you know, not feeling it's worthwhile enough, that your needs are important enough, and the codependence of putting other people's needs before your own, or needing people to be another way, needing other people to be a particular way for you to be okay. And so also kind of hearing the energy of being able to the some pleasure, or kind of a, and I guess this is what kind of brings it around, that ultimately what that end up doing is to you know, to be a victim, which is also in a way being self-vindictive, to stay in that space of being resentful, grudge carrying, that you'd rather do that than do something nice for yourself, like have the bath and look after your own needs. It's kind of the flip side of the codependence, that you know, I'll make you suffer and I'll suffer at the same time.
Yeah, so,
you recognize that one?
Yeah, no, totally, everything you're saying, yeah, totally.
Okay, so great. I mean, it's so that, you know, just thank you for sharing, and really recognizing that, you know, while we are focusing on vindictiveness, and certainly we're going to be doing something about the vindictiveness, is, you know, when you get into that state, is to really kind of identify what your part in this is as well. Okay, is anybody else who'd like to share anything about their vindictiveness?
Hi, this is Nav. Sorry, my video is not working, unfortunately.
Okay, Nav. Hi. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I just wanted to sort of go back to the initial point about this, where, you know, the partner is quite busy with work and you sort of feel a little bit sort of, you know, they're not giving enough time to you. And I completely agree that when you use the language of "I feel, you know, alone because of this," it works beautifully. But my question is that I've used that a couple of times in the last 3 or 4 months. And then when you do it, it works beautifully for the next few weeks, and it sort of goes away back to normal, and then you do it again. But after that couple of times of using that language, to use it again, I feel really ashamed because I've already done it. And then, you know, I have done it again, and then I don't do it again the third time, and I go into this whole sort of vindictiveness mode of, so I don't know if the question is really clear, but, you know, how many times do you keep doing it? If obviously your partner is unwilling to, no, it's not unwilling. It's just a natural sort of phase of, you know, it sort of goes back into what it was. Do you keep doing it, or how?
Broadly, yes. But I mean, I guess that without knowing the specifics, certainly I know that there are situations when you just need to keep pursuing it, and maybe it moves on. I mean, I'm hearing you say that it's like you're saying the same thing every time. And so I guess, does that then lead on to some kind of communication that feels more open? Or what happens each time when you speak about how I'm feeling in response to whatever it is you're doing? Does that lead to a conversation? Does that lead to clarity?
It does. It's quite a wonderful conversation at that point. And I'm also aware that because I'm not working, I think I'm very needy at the moment. So yeah. I recognize that within myself as well. So it leads into that conversation that these are probably the reasons why you're feeling this. It's not just my work. Yeah. But then sort of after a few weeks or a month, it comes back again.
I mean, I guess I would suggest that, yeah, the root, you know, even to the point of being able to say that I feel frustrated because we had this conversation last month, and maybe moving it on to, again, yes, expressing how you feel in that moment, and whatever the situation is that needs resolving, maybe there is more that can be said that could be explored. But so I would say, yeah, as a general rule, to keep pursuing that way of communicating, but also acknowledging that it sounds like there are times when that frustration you feel may lead to resentment towards the other person, and a feeling of vindictiveness, in which case it would be appropriate for you to quietly go off and to have the experience of expressing vindictiveness.
Which yes, is where we go a few times, yes.
Yes. And I mean, that's a perpetual thing, because, you know, I guess to move on, because you know where it's going to be going, the experience that you're having is to acknowledge the vindictiveness, to express the vindictiveness in a safe environment, not directly towards the person. And moving on to the other side of the coin, which is to be able to forgive them, because ultimately the intention behind the vindictive experience is to be able to move on to the other side and forgive the other person for what they did, because you know that they did what they did out of their patterns. And so, you know, that experience of forgiveness is something which can go through different layers. And I think that, you know, moving on, the obvious next step, we talk about understanding forgiveness and compassion. And so in the first instance, and certainly knowing that it does go through layers, and, you know, on the process, when I'm leading this, when I'm actually sort of reading through the visualization at the end of vindictiveness, then the intention is to, in the first instance, to reach forgiveness, because, you know, a realization that we can go through different layers of, I'll turn it around the other way. Basically, compassion can get deeper and deeper. And so through having different experiences, and particularly coming back to the vindictive experience, and maybe it's, as you're describing, Nav, of coming to a point where you need to have the vindictive experience again, then, you know, it can come to the point where each time your forgiveness and sense of compassion for the person is able to go deeper. And therefore being able to come to a point where we can be more accepting of the other in the moment and not be triggered every time. And I guess that, you know, in terms of you being triggered from time to time in these experiences, you know, if we go back to what I was saying earlier to Robert and to, I've forgotten, my apologies, I've forgotten who else I was talking to. Ashley.
Nav.
Yeah, but before that, but just talking, coming back to the patterns of behavior that are involved. And so it's kind of comes back for you to be able to get a sense of, you know, what are your patterns that are getting triggered all the time, which would be helpful for you to put some attention on so that you don't get triggered. You know, it's very much like in closure, where we talk about going to see your mum and dad and unscrewing your the buttons so that you know which of your patterns might get triggered when you're with the person. But ultimately, yes, it's a work in progress, that communication, and to do what you need to do in between times, maybe expressing some vindictiveness, maybe doing some work on some of your patterns of behavior, which may involve some expression on the pattern, and it may involve recycling, and so broadly using, you know, all of the tools.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. Thank you, Jeremy. That was very useful, because I kept thinking about the repetition of the communication, but yeah. I never thought to myself about the repetition of my own work on the trigger. So that's very useful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, you're welcome. Thanks. And so just as we move along and you start to put some attention perhaps on one person in particular that you feel vindictive towards, what are some of the ways in which you act out that vindictiveness? So not so much the triggers this time, but what are the ways in which you behave vindictively? And some of you looking at, you may look at that, the sheet that I asked you to turn attention to. You know, what are some of the things that you do when you're feeling vindictive towards somebody and you're not doing something about it? David, did you have your hand up? Is that my imagination? Yeah? Okay.
No, I did. I give them the finger behind their back.
Right. Thank you. And I thought you were going to say something after that. So it's just that, or is there anything that follows on from giving them the finger?
No, that's it, really. I just go around the house, and when they can't see me, I...
Okay. Great. And that's a kind of like a good piece of expressive energy by the sounds of it. And how do you feel after giving them the finger behind their back?
I'm not sure it is so good because it feels rather compulsive. I don't like myself doing it.
Okay. And so coming back again, I guess it's just, is it because you're not able to speak up to that person how you're feeling about whatever's going on? And it's easier just to give them the finger?
That's very good insight. I never thought of that, but that could well be the reason.
Okay, great. Give it a go. Anybody else like willing to share the actions they take when they're feeling vindictive towards somebody? Lena? Thanks.
So for me, I tend to just ignore and not look at them. Like if they come to a room, like avoid eye contact, just make them feel like they're not really there. And just maintain that withhold.
Okay. And how do you feel doing that?
I feel like I'm holding on to this like really annoyed feeling. And it's just like extending that feeling, like not being able to let it go.
And is there some enjoyment in the holding on to it, or what does it give you?
It's not enjoyment, but I feel like it feels like justice almost. Because it feels like, I feel like they did something bad. And now I feel like I'm, it's like
balancing what, the books. Something that Alison, I think, said earlier, something similar, that it's kind of justice in some way. Yeah. And how does that, I mean, I get that there's that motivation. And how do you feel after you've done this?
The thing is it's happening, like it keeps happening. So it's just tiring.
Yeah.
Me, okay. Like, I'm just like, I just want to have a good day. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be responsible for their bad behavior. Because it's usually... it feels like it's their bad behavior in the world. Like it's with my mom. It's like she behaves a certain way with other people. And I'm just like, why do you have, like, it's so negative. And I then react to that negativity by being like, I'm not gonna, like, I don't want to reward. I don't want to be nice, you know? So it's.
And is there a part of, and what I'm hearing is a part of that is kind of like, I'm better than you because you're doing all this negative stuff and I don't do that.
Well, I think because maybe it's a little codependent, because when she's negative, I feel negative. Mm. So when she's negative with people, I feel like I start to feel like I was having a good day and now you're exploding without processing. So the pattern gets in me and then I react vindictive.
Okay. And so bringing it back to the patterns again, that your mum has a bit of a negative approach to things generally.
Yes.
And that's a pattern of behavior that you learned. And which then gets triggered when you're around her.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. So more information there about a particular pattern for you to put some attention on so that you can then not be triggered. You can be more objective in the situations and maybe talk to her differently. But yeah, it's a great example of your buttons being pressed because you're seeing the pattern that you learn from her and you just go straight into it yourself. So, okay, great. Thank you. Okay. What other ways? Anybody else? Okay. Amanda, hi.
I'm really sorry if it's noisy, just saying I'll leave my question to later. There's a printer behind me. I think I'm meaner than all of you because I'm vindictive to people who've done nothing to me. They just happen to trigger me by somehow. I don't think I'm competitive, but some people trigger me into being competitive. And then I really relish when something goes wrong in their life. And it's absolutely nothing to do with them. It's all to do with the fact they've triggered something that makes me feel inadequate. So I'm really pleased when it goes wrong for them. And it's awful.
Okay.
It's such a nasty thing to do. And I can't show compassion because they've done nothing wrong.
Sure. Okay, so thank you for that, Amanda. So, okay, so whatever they do triggers your feeling of inadequacy, your pattern of inadequacy, and the response is such that, so what do you do in that vindictiveness towards them? Is it something which is internal, or do you do anything external?
I don't actually do anything very much. I'll observe when things go wrong for them, and I might highlight it to other people. It's not nice. Right.
So highlight what to other people? I'm sorry, I lost the
couple
of words.
Something that the other poor person suffers or happens to them or does okay. wrong. Or
yeah.
Anything that makes me feel better about myself, to be honest.
Yeah, thank you. So that sounds like a good example of the schadenfreude we were talking about, taking pleasure in their discomfort and unhappiness. But yeah, going back to the starting point of recognizing what gets triggered in the first instance, and therefore, you know, okay, there's a pattern I need to put some attention on, because every time somebody says something or does something or just is there and I feel inadequate, then it's kind of like comes flying out from you. But it's not to deny, yeah, you know, to really to deal with the vindictiveness and to get that out of you and to recognize that the energy that's there, and then also turn your attention to the underlying cause of it. Thank you. Anybody else want to share about the ways in which they're vindictive towards others? So no. Alison, did you? Okay, Helen, you had your hand up, and Alison. So Alison, you go, and then Helen. Okay, Helen, you go first, and I'll come to Alison.
Okay, so for me, I end up ignoring people. There's a couple of people that I feel like they're pressing my buttons of not good enough, you know, and kind of like asking questions, and I kind of like evade the question, just don't answer it. Maybe ask them a question instead. But it's a case of I'm feeling kind of like not good enough, and I think by withholding the information, not telling them what they want, I've got like a sense of power.
Right. And so what is the trigger for you then of not feeling good enough? That did you say that?
Yeah, it's okay. Not feeling good enough.
And so that gets triggered, and then your way of making yourself in that moment feel good enough or even better than them is to be withholding or ignoring.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Great. So thank you for sharing that. So Alison, you were next.
Yeah. I don't do anything external, but I've realised while you've been talking tonight that I sort of keep in a mental list of what somebody's done that could go back ever as long as I've known them. And then they did this, and then they did that. Then, you know, then...
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're kind of like continuing to build a case and to really kind of list out all the things they've done that you're resentful about.
Yeah.
And then where does it go? Where does it come? You know, where does it get to a point where, well, I'm asking, I guess, whether it's just a kind of a continual adding up and nothing ever gets done about it apart from you holding on to it? Or do you actually express it in some ways?
I don't tend to. It just gets added on to, and then I might have a good bashing session after a while, and I can be bashing for me for not saying something to them, you know, or for why criticizing myself for not being more saintly and realizing they're doing the best they can. But yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And so thank you for the segue there, because what I'm, you know, hearing you say that it leads on to beating yourself up after a while.
Yeah.
And that's a really good point to get, because ultimately, you know, all vindictiveness is self-vindictive. Certainly some of them, I mean, what you said then, Alison, and other examples that of those of you who shared, is to recognize that, you know, the outcome of both feeling the resentment and the grudges and the vindictiveness and the different ways in which you might express it, is that you end up giving yourself a hard time, feeling disconnected, maybe punishing yourself in one way or another. And so, yeah, really, the bottom line is vindictiveness is self-vindictive. And, you know, and then to recognize the strength of that and how cut off we are, that self-vindictiveness and all that goes with that of giving ourselves a hard time, the self-judgment, the self-criticism, is perfect fuel, perfect information for our dark sides to pick up on. And then the whole thing kind of just kind of goes on from there. And so, you know, what I've heard from all those of you who shared is that while in the moment there may be some pleasure in the vindictiveness, that ultimately it sort of turns a bit sour in one way or another. And I guess that, you know, that realization that it all then comes back to self-vindictiveness, and what can continue on from there is beating yourself up for, well, it can become just like a kind of a wheel of beating yourself up for having felt vindictive in the first place. And then leading on from there is to build the case that you're wrong, that you're no good, and takes you further away from your spiritual self. Therefore, you know, the absolute importance of being able to forgive the other person, the people who you experience as giving you the people who've hurt you, and I'm just trying to find the short way of saying that, but the people towards whom you feel vindictive for whatever reason, the ability to be able to see that whatever they've done out of their patterns, so that you can forgive them, and also then by extension, being able to forgive yourself for being in your patterns of behavior once again, and forgive yourself for beating yourself up. And the absolute importance of forgiveness, and there was a post on the graduate page a little while ago, I think it was there, it was to do with Nelson Mandela. And I don't know if any of you know, read it, but or familiar with it, but Nelson Mandela apparently was out when he became president, and he was out with his entourage, and they stopped somewhere in a small town and were having lunch. And he noticed somebody who was outside the group, but just somebody who was in the town. And he asked one of his entourage to go and get the guy to come and have lunch with them. And he, you know, they kind of said, okay, you know, they didn't know the reason why, but they went and asked the guy to come and join them. And it was said they noticed that the guy during the meal, the guy was a little nervous, and but at the same time, he was pleased to be there. And after the meal was over and they left, somebody asked Nelson Mandela who the guy was and why he'd invited him to lunch. And Nelson Mandela said, he's one of the people who tortured me when I was in solitary confinement. And, you know, I just wanted to have him come and be in the meal and to be accepted and to know through my hosting him and welcoming him into the meal that I had no bad feelings towards him, that I've forgiven him. And, you know, that's, as I read that, I was thinking, well, you know, that's really quite a step, but it is ultimately the way to defuse those feelings that we have towards other people, the whole range of feelings of being resentful, of being angry towards somebody else. You know, ultimately, the only way that it's going to be clean between you, for all of us, to have a clean relationship with those towards whom we feel resentful, is to be able to forgive them for what they did. And, you know, a recognition that by holding on to vindictiveness, we're just keeping the grudge carrying and the resentment going, and the importance of letting it go. And that letting it go is both by, yeah, really allowing yourself to have the expression of vindictiveness when it's really fully on you. And then one of the ways, and then to be able to forgive the other person because you know that they did what they did out of their patterns. But it also then enables you to put your attention on, you know, what are my patterns? What are my beliefs about myself that got triggered by that experience, that I took it all personally and was affected by it? When I deal with my patterns, then I'll be able to experience the other person objectively and be able to treat them as an individual and see it as, okay, the way they're behaving is their pattern of behavior. And I realize as I'm talking about that, you know, we're talking about present moment and how we're able to do something about and behave differently. But for many of us, we're still carrying resentments towards people from the time before we had an awareness of our patterns. And that's a reality that on the process, we ask you to choose one person you feel vindictive towards for the expressive experience that you have, acknowledging that there may well be other people towards whom you feel vindictive that you need to clear that with. And so I'm going to lead on now to giving you a brief experience. And I'm wondering whether in the conversation that we've been having and all the different examples that we've heard, to ask whether you have identified somebody towards whom you still feel vindictive. And so that'd be the first thing to ask. So perhaps you could raise your hand if, for those of you I can see, to ask you to identify somebody towards whom you feel vindictive. So could you raise your hand if, and the alternative that I want to give you, because for some of you, it may be possible, Faye, you said, coming back to you, what you said at the beginning, I'm wondering if the person towards whom you feel vindictive, mostly feel the vindictiveness, is yourself. So anybody for whom self-vindictiveness really stands out more than being vindictive towards somebody else? Okay. And is there anybody who doesn't have somebody in particular, whether it's another person or yourself, towards whom you feel vindictive? Does everybody have somebody? I'm just scanning through the photographs of your photographs, live pictures, sorry. Great. Okay. So on the next page, and not sure there aren't any numbers here. On the second page where there are tick boxes, down the bottom, there's a space for you to write the name of the person towards whom you feel vindictive. So if you can please do that.
Page 3,
thank you. There's no numbers printed out on the copy I made. So write down, maybe if it's another person or if it's yourself, just to write that down. And then to find a spot where you can do a little bit of expression. So for some of you, it may be, and depending on how much noise you can make, if there are other people around or nearby, then to do what you can do. And if you can stand up, that'd be great. And if you have something to express vindictiveness towards, maybe even a small pillow or something like that, that would be helpful as well. And maybe even some of you have a small puffin or something like that, but whatever you can be expressive towards, and to the degree that you're able to be expressive. Okay, so close your eyes, wherever you are, closing your eyes. And put your attention on the person towards whom you feel vindictive, or yourself, if that be the case. And remember what it was that this person did to you or keeps doing to you. And yeah, you know, you've been holding on to this vindictiveness for quite a while, and it just kind of sits there inside of you and you don't let it out, and it festers and it builds, and you make a case all the time, keeping the score of all the things that that person has done, or remembering one thing in particular that they have done to you. And so picking up whatever it is you have, maybe you have a pillow or a small animal, then just holding it up. And if you don't have one or something like that, then just imagine that you're holding this cushion, this object which represents that person. Imagine that you are holding them, and if this represents the vulnerable part of that person, the person, that part of them that you can get back at. And now start squeezing it between your hands, or imagining that you're jabbing it a little bit, and telling it all the things that it did to you, all the things that it does, all the things that that person does to you. Speaking out the things that you're not able to speak out to them, just really letting them know what's inside you. And if it's yourself, just telling yourself all the things that you do. And really squeeze them and bash it if you're able to, whatever energy you're able to put into it, wherever you are. But really having a sense of the intention that you really want to hurt this person. You're telling them what they did to you, what it is they did, and you really want them to feel as hurt as you felt. So really let it out of you with the intent. And if it's yourself, telling yourself what it is that you keep doing, that you're sick of yourself, you're sick of all the time complaining about things, feeling like a victim, not able to speak up for yourself, feeling powerless, feeling unlovable, feeling worthless. So tell that pillow, really put the energy into it and build up the intention of it, really build it up. Get all of that feelings of vindictiveness out of you. You don't want them inside anymore, because it all ends up eating you up inside. And you're going over and over it in your head, and you're wanting to get back at that person, or you want to keep beating yourself up. So really let it out. You don't want it in there anymore. So really build it up, the intensity, really giving it the intention of killing this person off, killing off this part of them. Really allowing yourself to get rid of them. You don't want it there anymore. Or yourself, if it's yourself, then really, if wanting to beat yourself up all the time, really do a good job this time. And if you've ever felt that you wanted to kill, bring that energy in. If you've ever wished that you were dead, bring that energy in. Do the job properly. Really get that energy out of you. Express it. Don't hold on to it anymore. That's it. So do whatever you need now to finish that off. Do whatever you need to finish that person off, to finish yourself off. Really get it out of you. That's it. Get it out of you. And when you get to that point, when you feel that you've finished them off, that they're done for once and for all, then just drop them, toss them aside. And drop them, yeah, that's it. And then taking a deep breath, taking a deep breath. And as you breathe, get a sense of speaking, of holding on, that you have a sense now of holding that person or yourself, whoever it is that you've just finished off. Get a sense that you're holding them, as a baby, and it's the other person or it's you. So hold them close and realize that in spite of what you did, and in spite of your experience and your intention of killing them off, that actually this person is still there, is still alive, that you're still alive. And speak quietly to yourself and speak to this baby that, and certainly if it's another person, that even though you might not know what its childhood was like, you're now beginning to understand that it did what it did out of its patterns. And if you're speaking to yourself, is to realize that you did the only way you knew at the time, that you've been behaving and treating yourself because of the patterns that you took on. And although you may have done something about those patterns, disconnected from the need for them, that the habit is still there. And so, whoever it is you're holding, another person or yourself, then recognize that they did what they did out of their patterns, and they had no choice. And as you put your attention on the other person or yourself, you acknowledge that you're now ready to move on in life and to let go of past hurts and blame, because you know that that way lies discomfort and disconnection. And so making a commitment that you'll identify the patterns that you go into, you'll do something about them. And that when another person is involved, that you'll communicate differently, that you'll speak up for yourself, that you'll tell them how you're feeling. And so as you keep speaking, then without condoning what the other person did, when you're holding another person, not condoning what they did or making their actions okay, but be willing to forgive them because they did what they did out of their patterns and because they knew no better. Understand it and forgive it. And telling the baby, telling the person that you don't blame it anymore. And that you no longer feel vindictive towards it or to the adult self, the adult person it now is. And if it's your own child, if it's vindictiveness towards yourself, then ask it to forgive you for your criticisms, your judgments, for rejecting it and hating it, for blaming it and trying to destroy it. And if you're holding another person's baby, imagine it growing up through all the various stages of life to adulthood. Then look into their adult face. And know that the adult is only an extension of the baby who learned to do all the negative things she or he did out of a desperate effort to get attention, the only way that he or she knew how. Because this is how compulsive the patterns are. And so as you look at the adult person, say whatever else you need to say. Give the person your forgiveness and compassion without condoning what they did, because you know now that he or she knew no better. And if you're talking to yourself, then forgive yourself for all the mistakes you've made in your life. Speaking to yourself quietly out loud and being specific. I forgive you for this. I forgive you for that. And so, whoever you're speaking to, say all the things that you need to say. If you're speaking to another person, also ask them to forgive you for all of your active and passive vindictiveness towards them, all the ways in which you've tried to get even and receive forgiveness from them. And if you're speaking to yourself, then tell yourself that you'll no longer be self-vindictive. No longer set yourself up to be rejected or abandoned, and you'll stop blaming. So say whatever you need to say to the other or yourself. Feel yourself filled with acceptance, forgiveness, and to the degree that you can in this moment, compassion. And for those of you speaking to yourself, or perhaps for all of you, just to put attention on the fact that if you've ever wished that you were dead, remind yourself that you, who you really are, your authentic self, your spiritual self, is of the light, eternal and indestructible. You deserve to be here. You do belong. So feel yourself connected to your spiritual self. Feel yourself connected to the light. Breathe it in. And when you're ready, feel a beam of light coming down. And now feel yourself floating up that ray of light. Up, up into the light. Feel yourself in the light. Feel yourself bathed by the light. And then from the light, move into your beautiful sanctuary, a natural outdoor setting. Look around you and notice what you can see here in your sanctuary. Nature, trees, shrubs, flowers, and your whole sanctuary bathed by the light. And as you look around you, notice your river of life flowing through your sanctuary. So walk down to your river of life and paddle in it. Feel the water around your feet, your ankles. And lean down and pick up some of the water in your hands. And as you just putting your hands to your face, feeling the water on your face. And then as you feel the water flowing around your feet, walking out of your river of life and up to the banks where your tree of life is growing. Your tree of life is as old as you are. Then noticing once again what kind of tree it is, its shape. And then sitting down and leaning your back against the trunk of the tree of life. Feeling relaxed. Knowing that you can come here anytime you like to feel replenished, rejuvenated, relaxed. And then taking a breath now and walking back through your sanctuary and out into the light, back into the light, and feeling yourself infused with light energy. And then coming back down that beam of light, coming back to where you are, coming back to the room, wherever you are. Feeling yourself in your body, standing or sitting, wherever you are. And feel yourself connected to your spiritual self. Breathe it in. Feel yourself embodying your spiritual self. And notice if it affects your posture. And as you take another breath, listening for whatever message your spiritual self has for you right now. And then gently allowing your eyes to open. So, to ask if any of you would like to or be willing to share your experience of vindictiveness and whether your feelings towards the person towards whom you feel felt vindictive, the other person, another person, or yourself, how that shifted the way that you feel towards them, the sense of, I suppose the leading question is whether you've come to a point of forgiving them and understanding them, perhaps having compassion for them. Would anybody like to share? I see a hand up there. Sheila.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I had my person is somebody, it's a relation where we had a really bad, we've known each other most of our lives. We're not sisters or brothers, but we were very close friends for a long time. And we had a dreadful falling out on holidays over something totally not hearing what the other person was saying. But we have maintained a core relationship of sorts because we're connected and because there are other people involved. And I've known for a long time, for quite some time, that this it's time to let go of this and to move on. And what I was really interested there, because, and in fact, we'll be meeting in a couple of weeks. We're I have a big birthday in September and hers is November, and we always do something before our birthdays. We've been meeting in a couple of weeks and I had said, this is the time I'm going to say something to try and just finish it without making it, digging it up again. Yeah. And in going through all this, what I found really interesting was all sorts of other little resentments came up, you know, and you did this, and you said this, and you blah, 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 blah. And it was, I suddenly realized like how rich this resentment was about things that were, and yet I also suspected some of the things that I was saying, you did this, you said that, were her being vindictive towards me about this old argument, you know. And it, but it's really interesting because I just came with this, developed this great sense of calm. And I know that this, you know, I was, she wasn't the person I was going to be looking at, but I realized that she was probably the more, I wasn't sure whether it was rich enough, but actually it has been very, very rich. And I wish myself good fortune now in a couple of weeks' time, because I think it's time to lay the past behind us.
Great, thank you. So do you feel that your attitude towards that person has shifted and that you are now going to be able to approach it differently without that energy behind it?
Yes, because it was when I was sort of looking at her patterns. And I mean, I know her background. Mm. I know everything she grew up with. And I don't know exactly, you know, where, what different patterns are at play, but, you know, I do know what I'm looking at. And I had never really considered her as a child before, and that this is what I'm really talking to. You know, when we fight, it's our children fighting.
Yes. Great. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that piece. Thanks, Sheila. Great. Anybody else like to share about their experience or the outcome of the experience, either feeling vindictive towards somebody else or towards yourself? Yeah, Mary.
Well, it turned out that as my person hadn't done much, and just as other people were saying, her crime was to trigger a sense of inadequacy in me. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, that's, I've had confirmation that that's what it's all about, really. And it's being aware of my triggers and being self-compassionate towards myself and meeting my needs so that I'm not triggered by feelings of envy to the same extent.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you. So some self-compassion and maybe some attention on that particular pattern as well. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else like to share anything about your experience? Checking through. And so I guess to ask overall,
Janina.
Do you get...
Janina's got a hand up.
I'm sorry, Janina.
Only if you've got time, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. So go ahead, Janina.
You just need to unmute yourself.
Unmute. Mike, I'd be quite quick. Mine was about my brother. So I think my vindictiveness actually, I thought it was a few months, but it's lasted about 2 years secretly. So yeah. I think this experience allowed me to feel the love for him. So I felt the love and just remembered him as the baby and who he really is, and that the patterns where he got them from. So at the end, I just felt so calmer, relaxed, relieved, because I did bash the pillow with, what do you call those bats?
A whiffle bat.
I did really beat it. So
yeah, great.
I felt so relieved after insulting him so much with it. And I just feel just real love. Love for him and me as well. Because I go into my patterns as well. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
So calm.
Lovely. Thank you. Thanks, Janina. Thanks for sharing that. And anybody else like to share Just a few minutes longer if anybody would like to.
We've got Helen.
Helen, okay. So, thank you. Thanks, Serena. Helen, go ahead.
Hi. My person was my mother, and I really got angry, and it helped a lot, and I felt calm afterwards. But I think there's a lot of fear, because I realised that actually my vindictiveness has become a whole persona, and I've operated from that persona my whole life, really. I'm very superior and condescending, and I criticise only with her. I'm not like that with anyone else, or not that I'm aware of. And there's a lot of fear involved, because I think, I don't want to let go of that, because how will I be? How will I? And it's scary. I don't know what it would be like if I wasn't that person when I was with her. And it's pleasurable. I feel very ashamed, but I get a lot of pleasure from okay. that treatment as well. So I think there's more I need to do.
Yeah. So thanks for that, Helen. But I guess the question I would ask is, I mean, when you think of your mother now, objectively, how do you feel towards her in this moment?
Intellectually, she's had a terrible life, and she didn't. She was basically an orphan and didn't have love shown to her. So intellectually, I totally understand the way she is. But emotionally, it's hard letting go of that very childlike pain that I had, because I wasn't parented properly, I suppose.
Okay.
Intellectually I can forgive her, but emotionally I'm still fucking angry about it.
Okay. So that's fine. And thank you for exploring that, because you may remember that, and it sounds as if there's still a little bit of work for your emotional self to do to come to a point of forgiving her and having compassion for her. Certainly we would have spoken on the process that, for sure, I think we all get to a stage in life, perhaps in our teenage years, maybe before, well, teenage years or afterwards, of having the understanding that you're talking about, that sort of having a knowledge of what your mum's childhood was like, that you have an intellectual understanding and forgiveness. But the part that's still incomplete, and the part that the process is leading towards, is having forgiveness and compassion on an emotional level. And it sounds as if there's something there that still needs to be completed. And so therefore, what I would suggest is to, I think the words I heard you say was that you're still pissed off that she didn't give you what you needed, that she didn't meet your needs, that she wasn't able to be there for you.
While
intellectually you know why, emotionally there's still some resentment towards her. And therefore, you know, I would encourage you to explore that and to address it through some expression, you know, just to make sure that you have a chance for the energy of the emotional child, as you described it, is still feeling of resentment towards her. And so get that out, express that. And then to have another experience of sitting down 12-year-old to 12-year-old on the banks of your river of life and talking to her some more. And after you've done the expressive work, and until you feel that you're coming to a point where you're able to forgive her and have deeper compassion for her. And then at the same time, what you could also be doing is to, after expressing on those patterns, is also to, in fact, I'll turn that around. To forget what I've just said, I wanna just bring it back to do the expressive work on the how you're still feeling towards her, getting that out, allowing yourself to really express that, then have the experience of sitting 12-year-old to 12-year-old, and perhaps even journaling it, writing it down, having a record of that conversation, and really allowing yourself to go in deeper. And maybe even, you know, is there an aspect of even a pattern of being resentful or unforgiving as a pattern of behavior that you might have learned from her?
Light bulb moment. Yeah, that's totally my mother. Yes, yes. Okay. And I think that's part of my problem, that I recognise a lot of the traits in myself, of course, and that's really unpleasant.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, so you know that's where to do the expression on all those patterns, because yeah, the resentment and the unforgiving are patterns that you learn from her, and therefore to make sure you put attention on those if you haven't already, or if you have already, then to do it with to do it again, because it goes very deep for you. And then again, looking at the other side of the coin. Okay, so
thank you. That's really, really helpful. Thank you. Thanks.
Welcome. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay. And so, yeah, just coming to the end, I guess, of our webinar now. And certainly, you know, there may be other people in your life towards whom you feel vindictive that you still need to have, you know, allow yourself to have that experience. And if there's any elements of self-vindictiveness to use the experience. And those mini visualizations that I led you through, then you may have already noticed that they're in your workbook, so that you're able to have the complete experience of the expression and then the forgiveness, looking at the other side of the coin. Because, yeah, I guess really just to close on the point of the, you know, the only way that you're going to be able to let that vindictiveness go and to make peace with the other people in your life or with yourself is through coming to a point of forgiveness and compassion, or with yourself, yeah, self-forgiveness and self-compassion. That to heal the past involves forgiveness. And then from that point, being able to move on and behave differently. And also then remembering the importance, and well, more than importance, the fundamental aspect of being in connection with your spiritual self, and having that connection through quad check-ins, but also simply having it a reminder that that's who you are. Always remembering that your spiritual self is who you are, and coming back to that point as often as you have the reminder of it, and knowing the, you know, what's the word I'm trying to say? I mean, it's just that's who we are, and really to allow that connection and the real knowing of that will support you through being able to do what you need to do with patterns and beliefs and negative feelings towards other people, but bringing it back to yourself and nourishing that part of yourself in whatever way you enjoy the best, whether it's in nature or with animals or with children or different activities of sports or walking in outdoors, whatever lights you up, whatever you're passionate about, as the lockdown eases and for the time being and for longer, hopefully, but being able to get out more, then do remember to nourish your essence, your spiritual self. So
thank you
for your presence and your attention, and for being engaged and being involved. Thank you.